Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Think about this, guys. Dak Prescott has been ranked in the top four on two separate deep passer rankings, as well as the third best fantasy quarterback for the upcoming season. While there is a lot of statistical hype for Dak, the fact remains that he went 1-6, first playoff teams last season, with 8 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. So, Skip, how much should Dak's 1-6 record versus those playoff teams play a role in his negotiations?
Jerry Jones should constantly bring that up. That's a fact, and that's significant. And Shannon Sharp, you know I love Dak Prescott. You know that I have defended this man probably as much as anybody in the media anywhere in this country has defended Dak Prescott. But I didn't always defend what happened last year. I did not love the way he played, especially down the stretch last year. I actually loved him more in overall performance in 2018, especially after he got Amari at midseason and they just took off. And Dak was the driving force of that one playoff win over Seattle. He was the star of that game, arm and legs. And I thought Dak played well enough against the Rams in the next playoff game out here in LA at the Coliseum to win that game. The defense did not show up and basically got run off the field, as you remember, by C.J. Anderson and Todd Gurley. But Dak played very well, and I defended him the next day on Undisputed. I really loved how he played with Amari. I told you Amari had changed Dak's life. And then we get to last August, and out comes once again the NFL.com Top 100 as voted on by the players. And the players said no to Dak Prescott. This is last August going into the 2019 season. The players voted Dak no out of the top 100. What? I was outraged over that. You liked it. Mm-hmm. You applauded it in part because you were just amused by it because I'm a Cowboy fan and you knew how much it just tore my heart out. But the point was, here we go into 2019 and all of a sudden, Dak's not playing like Dak. He's not making the play to win the game. And he goes 1-6 against the playoff teams. He played very well in that one game. Remember, it was this Sunday night game, the first one against the Eagles. 37-10 mm-hmm. Dallas. Love that. But other than that, I got nothing. And Jerry's got a lot on his side of the table because you remember what Dak didn't do at New Orleans. You killed him for that game. It's Dak versus Teddy Bridgewater in the Superdome. And the final score was 12-10. Bridgewater? 10. Dak managed 10 points in that game. His QBR was actually pretty good at 70. It was very good at 77. He just missed Randall Cobb in the back of the end zone, threw it a little too far out front of him. He missed too many the plays in that game to win that game. And then against Aaron Rodgers, they fall behind 31-3. And then here came Dak later in the game from like the 330 mark of the third quarter through the end of the game. He threw for 254 yards. And Shannon Sharp came in the next morning, empty calories. Okay, he almost got them back in the game, except for Brett the Fret Maher missed another late field goal that could have made at least forced an onside kick. But again, okay, I'll give you some empty calories. At least he kept fighting. He will fight you. He will compete. Then the Vikings game. I thought Dak played very well. He had a QBR of 85 in that game, and they took the ball out of his hands, as you remember, on second and two at the 11 late in the game when I thought he was driving them for the touchdown to win it, and it was Zeke, 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 and more Zeke at the end of the game, and they lost. But then at New England, it's 13-9 Tom Brady. Is a miserable day, but Dak was pretty miserable. He lost Amari because Amari quit, went over and pouted on the sideline because he just couldn't get open against Stephon Gilmore, and he didn't catch a ball in that game. So maybe I got to give Dak a little bit of a pass, but Dak wasn't very good. Then against Buffalo on Thanksgiving, he was terrible. Threw two awful picks. It was a mismatch. It was a rout. And then at Philly, Dak had a banged up shoulder, but Shannon Sharpe always teaches me, if you step on the field, even though you didn't practice all week, you play, and I got to grade you as you played the game. And he wasn't very good, and he missed Tavon Austin deep on a play that could have maybe set up a tie in that game. So there it is, 1-6. Well, I can't sell that. I can't say that's worthy of $40 million a year for 4 years and then $48 million in the fifth year. It just wasn't good enough. It wasn't like 2018 to me, Shannon. And in the end, these weird accolades that keep coming Dak's way, he's all the way up to third in some houses in MVP. And RotoWorld says he's projected as the third best fantasy quarterback. And next gen stats say he was actually the best deep ball thrower in football last year. I don't remember that. I didn't really see or feel that. I don't think Jerry Jones is seeing or feeling any of that. And I do believe he's looking at the cold, hard facts. We went 8-8. He was 1-6 against playoff teams. And in the end, he didn't make the Pro Bowl, and we didn't make the playoffs. So I'd say all that is more advantage Jerry, and there's a very fair offer on the table that Dak should compromise and accept. Sign it, Dak.
Skip, look, this is how we understand how negotiating works, is that you use whatever is in your best interest to your advantage, and you put all the bad stuff on the table to use it to the player's disadvantage. We understand that's what's playing out right now. Also, I think this is one of the main reasons that Jerry Jones is not totally convinced that Dak is the long term that can take them to where they ultimately want to be. That's get to and win the Super Bowl. But my only problem with your entire argument, where was this argument during the season? When I was saying these were empty calories, when I said he was coming up small, when I was giving him D's and F, you gave him B's and A's. That's what you did. My quarterback is a warrior. You talked about how great he performed the first three games of the season. I was telling you he was playing nobody, but that's not what you said. Only now, when it's time to Dak to get his money, is that you're bringing all this. He played small against New England. You gave him a B. He played small against Philly. You gave him a B. He played small in some of these other games. You gave him an A. You talk about how he was a warrior. He talked about how he brought his team back. You didn't mention any of the things that you're mentioning right now. You never mentioned that at the time that it was happening. It's only now that Dak's about to get this money, you want to use everything you possibly can. He came up small against Teddy Bridgewater. You got to beat Teddy Bridgewater. Carson, limping to him, Wentz. You got to beat limping to him. Kirk Cousins, you owned Kirk Cousins when he was in Washington. That's not what you said at the time. At the time, you talk about what a warrior he was and how outstanding of a performance he was giving. Now, man, you ain't said nothing good about Dak in the last month.
I've said a lot good about him. And by the way, we'd have to look this up and verify. I remember giving Dak C's for New England and Philly late in the year, but I could be wrong. I know you gave him consistent F's, and now you want him to be by far the highest paid player in the game of football. Skip. So I can't really justify or reconcile yours either.
Because here's the thing, Skip, that I understand that when you play the quarterback position, it's the premium position. And a lot of guys, Skip, you don't get paid on worth or how good you perform. Dak's a free agent. Skip, if you really want to know the value of something, put it for sale. See, I might think a house is worth $20 million. Man, this house is worth $20 million. Let me stick that for sale sign in the dirt. Somebody might come and say, give me $25. Somebody might give me $30. But the bids might only reach the $10 million. Well, that's what the house is worth. What is someone willing to pay? You wanted to find out Dak's worth, let him become a free agent. And then let other teams bid on him. And then you can say, well, I'm going to let somebody else pay him $35, $40 million. I can't pay that. Or he might not have got an offer, and you might could have got him for $15 million. But you weren't willing to roll the dice. You want to put the tag on him, you hold him, and then say, well, nobody else would have paid him that. How do you know someone else wouldn't have paid him $35, $40 million? You didn't afford him that opportunity to see. So it's easy to say what Dak is worth when you hold him in, when you got all the cards in your favor. But you should have let Dak test the market, and then you could have found out what his true value was. But I want to know, Skip, when you was passing out all these passing grades, when you were talking about your quarterback QBR, he had a better QBR than old Cousins. He had a better QBR than old bounce it to him Wentz. He had a better QBR than Aaron Rodgers. Not one time did you mention anything. I was telling you, Skip, what's he doing against team with winning record? What's he doing with teams that could possibly be in the playoffs? You all don't worry about that. It's Jason Garrett's fault. What about so Dak not playing well? That's Jason Garrett. You blame Jason Garrett for everything else, but now it's time for Dak to get payday. You ain't mentioned Jason Garrett. It's all Dak's fault now. Mm. Dak, you see this. Dak, you watching this? I want you to know, your biggest fan, really not your biggest fan, it's your boy Shea Sharp that's in your corner the whole while. You just didn't know
it. Yeah. Shea, give him an F sharp, right? by the way, just point of order here. If Shannon Sharp walked outside right now and stuck a for sale sign in the front yard of his palatial estate up in Bel Air, he might get $40 million because it'd be the equivalent of people would want to buy the house back in the day that Frank Sinatra lived in. It'd be like buying Frank Sinatra's house up in Bel Air, right? Yeah, that would be Shea Sharp's house. Look, Dak, I love you, man. You're just asking for unrealistic money. I can't defend that. That's the point. Out of bounds, outrageous money, thanks to your new agent, Todd France. I've reported numerous times that many who are watching this very closely think that your agent is overstepping his bounds. He's overplaying his hand. You deserve the money that's on the table because it would make you. If you sign the dotted line right now, you would be the highest paid player in pro football. But obviously, in the next 3 years, that would get rendered not obsolete, but it would go down the list a little bit as Mahomes and Deshaun sign. But you're still going to hang on to the third spot for a long time. You're still being very fairly paid. I'm all about fair. I can't defend what Dak did last year because I've said 1,000 times he didn't make enough throws to turn 8-8 into 10-6 and a division championship. It's as simple as that. I can't make that up, and I said that from game to game when he disappointed me. I still believe in him. I believe in this team. I believe in his weapons. It's all right there for him. If he would just compromise a little, maybe they could get it to $37 or $38 million a year. That's still extraordinary, top-of-the-list money right here, right now. That's still beyond Goff and beyond Carson Wentz. I still believe Dak is better than Wentz and better than Goff. That's done. That's over. That's settled. But do I think he's better than Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun right here, right now? I don't. Do I think he's top 10? I've got him ranked 10th in the league. That's still very good. But has he proven to be a top 5 quarterback the way he's projected? He has not. And I'm not going to sit here and lie to the public about it. As much as I love Dak, I have been objective about Dak. The man who's not objective is Shannon Sharp, who hates the Dallas Cowboys and wants them to swim in salary cap hell with the Sharks. That's what he wants to have happen.
It's amazing that you couldn't defend Dak now, but you could defend him back then. Back then, he wasn't about to get the contract. Now that he is, he's not that good. Dak, you see what's going on right here, Dak. Todd France, holler at your boy. Stay in pat. We together.
Yeah,
we in
right
this
there
together.
We go. Yeah.
I never know what side Shannon's on. No mercy. A list of the top 25 running backs of all time was posted on social media yesterday and nearly made Twitter explode. The great Barry Sanders came in at 1. Following Barry was Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith, Adrian Peterson, and Frank Gore to round out the top 5. So, Shannon, I would love to know your top 5 in terms of all-time running backs.
Well, I got Barry at 1. I got Walter Payton. I got Jim Brown, Emmitt. And Skip, I went back and forth with this one. And the guy that I left off not because of he wasn't great, it's because of what transpired in the early 90s. And I just could not in good conscience put him on my list. But he was unbelievable. And if you're my age, if you're between the ages, I'm 50, I'll be 52 in a month, Skip. If you're between 52 and 60, your favorite running back, there's no question, Skip, was O.J. Simpson. And people, Skip, people don't realize how good he was because he retired, I think, in 79, Skip, and that was 40-plus years ago. And then what transpired was like, you know, 15 years after, 14, 15 years after that, and then got in some trouble again. But, Skip, people don't realize how good O.J. was. For a five-year stretch, Skip, he averaged 1,500 rush yards, won the MVP, and was all-pro every year. I went with E.D. because I was very fortunate, Skip, to see three of these guys play. You know, I'm old enough to – I was in the league. Me and Emmett came in the league together. Barry came in the year before us. E.D. was E.D. was still in the league when I was in the league. So I saw three of these guys play. So my list is Barry, Walter Payton, Jim Brown, Emmitt Smith, and E.D. Barry was special.
No. Not special. I got a big problem with Barry Sanders as your number one because Barry Sanders is not in my top five. Shannon, Barry Sanders had to be taken out on goal line or short yardage plays because he could not run between the tackles. Barry Sanders was often known for plays that went nowhere fast. He often got many of his yards going the wrong way, as in wrong way Sanders, because he would go here and there and here and there and run circles around defenders way deep in the backfield and wind up with a minus 1 yard gain. And if you look at his playoff run, he did play six playoff games. They only won one of them. But he averaged in the postseason 64 rush yards a game. That's not number one all-time running back to me. And in one of those playoff games against Brett Favre and the Packers at Lambeau, he carried the ball 13 times in that game for a grand total of minus 1 yards in a playoff game. 13 rushes for minus 1 yards because he's going nowhere fast. He's going here, there, he's going here, there. He's wrong way Sanders. He was hard to get on the ground, spectacular behind the line of scrimmage, but he didn't go forward enough for me. And if you have to get pulled out on short yardage and goal line because you need a bigger, stronger back end, you're disqualified from being the first overall choice on Hall of Famer Shannon Sharpe's list. I cannot abide that. Go, if you want to respond, okay, please do.
Well, Skip, I think the thing is when you average 1,527 rush yards for 10 years and you said he lost a lot of yards, but he gained a lot of yards. Skip, if you look at it, you look at his offensive lineman, there's nobody, I mean, his best offensive lineman. Yeah, he had Glover with a center and Lomas Brown. But can you imagine if you put Barry behind that Cowboys offensive line, how many rush yards do you think he would have had, Skip? If you put him behind ED's offensive line, when they ran the football, how many yards you think he would have? Jim Brown had offensive linemen that's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He didn't have that. OJ have offensive linemen that's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. This guy does not have a lineman that's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He did that. And a lot of these guys, the quarterback, I mean, and the reason why you look at Walter, because Walter was all they had, Skip. Their quarterback was terrible. And really until they got Jim McMahon. Vince Evans and Bob Avellini. Come on, Skip. So that's...
Totally agree.
That's what I'm riding with. I'm riding with them.
All right. Now,
who
now
you
back
got?
To my list. I have your number five at number one. And it's not because Eric Dickerson is a friend of mine or a friend of ours, a contributor on Undisputed. I've said this for years. Eric Dickerson was the rarest combination of power and speed I have ever seen. At 6'3", yeah. 220, he timed 4.28 in the 40. And he's talked about it on Undisputed. We're talking about 4.2-ish speed. I saw it firsthand. I covered him at SMU because I was the columnist of the Dallas Morning News. Ron Meyer called me at home that August that he was a true freshman out of Sealy, Texas. How SMU signed him, I still don't know. That's a documentary for another day. But he was at SMU with Craig James, who was really good. And one day, Ron Meyer called me at home and said, are you doing anything this afternoon? Because we're having an afternoon practice. Please come watch this kid from Sealy. He is a man among boys. My seniors cannot tackle him. It was Eric Dickerson, who then went on to that 1 year where he shattered the record of O.J. Simpson that you talked about with 2,105 yards.
21 by.
Went on to, yeah, and then in that playoff game, I was right there in the front row of the press box that day in Anaheim, California, when Eric Dickerson ran over my Cowboys, around my Cowboys, through my Cowboys, right down their throats for a playoff record that still stands 248 yards. He led this league in rushing four times, has the all-time record, and I'm sorry, that's just true greatness to me. Now, quickly to O.J., I'm with you. I have mixed emotions because we know about the off field. I don't even want to discuss it or right. touch it because it's just evil and it's hard for me to process. But if you can remove yourself from that and stay on the field, I am so with you that
oh yeah,
we can't disqualify the on the field with the off the field. Mm-mm. He did it. He was the first to go over 2,000 yards and he did it in 14 games. He averaged that year in 1973, he averaged 143 yards a game. That still stands as the record for a per game average for any single season. OJ, and for my eye and for my entertainment value, Shannon, I'm with you. I'm in that era that you're talking about. The most exciting, electrifying back I ever saw dating to his USC days, where remember what he did to UCLA late in that game? They won 21-20 when O.J. was in his first year at USC, went to San Francisco City College for a couple of years, but he got loose for 64 yards. The juice was loose and beat UCLA. Mm-hmm. And then he was must-see TV behind what they call the electric company, Reggie McKenzie, in that offensive line. I'm still going to put him second on my list. Yep. And we didn't talk about the great Jim Brown. I'm sorry. I'm old enough to have actually gotten to watch him on television. Jim Brown dominated pro football. He played nine years, and he led the league in rushing eight times. In the 1964 NFL championship game against Baltimore and Don Shula, he ran for 114 against a defense that would just stack to stop him, and they won 27-0, the Browns did. He was, you want to talk about man among boys? It was Jim Brown. So I got him third. I'm going to give Emmett fourth just on longevity and you know, those many years of legacy. And Walter Payton, as you pointed out, got so many yards for bad teams. He was an MVP for a bad team. And I don't know how he did it. He's still all-time second. Those are the hardest yards anybody ever gained in pro football. And to still be second all-time, that is also true greatness. So that's my top five, but I don't have Barry in my top five.
Skip, if you look, people don't remember, but ED went for over 1,800 yards as a rookie. And then he followed his rookie season up because the 2,105 came in his second year. Skip, and but like you said, but Jim Brown, I mean, he won the MVP. If I'm not mistaken, I think he won the MVP in his rookie season. They won three. What he did, that would never. Nobody's going to win eight rushing titles again, Skip. That's not going to happen. And that was the only reason I kept OJ out, Skip, is because I was like, man, people don't want to hear this guy's name. Okay. They just wish he could go away.
But I'm old enough
to remember. He was, Skip, actually, he was the first Eric Dickerson. He was the first big back that could fly. O.J. Simpson could fly. He was like a 9-1, 9-2, 100-meter, 100-yard dash guy. So he could flat out run.
I think he ran 9-4. At USC, he ran a 9-4, 100-yard dash, which is like absurd speed. I got it.
O.J. was like 6'3", 6'2", 6'3", and could run. But E.D., his running style. So, Skip, the only one that you and I differ on is Barry Sanders.
That's it.
That's the only one that you and I differ on. But the guys that they got on that list, I don't know, somebody must have been drinking. No mercy.
According to Pro Football Focus, Tom Brady's Bucks have the number one ranked receiving core in the NFL. Right behind it, too, are the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs, and the Cowboys snagged the third overall spot. So, Shannon, any problem with these rankings?
Yeah, the Chiefs should be number one. I'll take the Chiefs over any receiving core in all of football. especially with the guy that they have pulling the trigger playing quarterback. But you give me Miko Harman, you give me Tyreek Hill, you give me Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce. That's the best group in all of football. Travis Kelce is the best tight end in football right now, Skip. It goes between he and George Kittle. But right now, Travis Kelce, his ability in the passing game, Skip, is second to none. He's done something that no other tight end has done in the 100-year history of the NFL, and that's have four straight seasons in which he's caught 4,000 yards. Nobody has ever done that. Not Gronk, not Shannon Sharpe, not Tony Gonzalez, not Mackey, not Dicka, not Winslow, not Newsom. None of them. And this kid is not slowing down, so he's probably going to add on that. So when it's all said and done, he's probably going to have the lion's share of the numbers. Now, I don't know if he's going to get, because he doesn't produce the touchdowns like Gronk, Gonzalez, and Antonio Gates does. But as far as yards and catches, Skip, he can do that as well as any of them. And we know what Hardman and we know what Tyreek Hill does. Okay, Skip, my thing, the problem that I have with this is that you list Tampa, okay, I get it. The two outside guys are unbelievable. Yeah, they went to the Pro Bowl last year. But the tight ends, yeah, they have potential. Potential is just another way of saying you haven't done jack yet. That's what potential is. And O.J. Howard, we know he has potential. We saw what he did in two national championship games, Skip, against Clemson. Cameron Brake, yeah, he's put up some good numbers. Gronk has been away from the game. We know what Gronk was. Can he be something comparable to that, Skip, after taking a year off? We'll see. The Cowboys, Skip, and again, Skip, this kid, CeeDee Lamb, this kid better be Randy Moss. Because everything I keep hearing, they the number one offense, they got the potential to be the number one offense, and it's because of CeeDee Lamb. They got a chance, Dak got a chance to be the MVP, it's because of CeeDee Lamb. They got the third best receiving core, it's because of CeeDee Lamb. If this kid is not Randy Moss in his rookie season, it's a flop. Because I've never seen, Skip, I've never seen Julio, A.J. Green didn't get this kind of hype coming out. Randy Moss is the only receiver that had this kind of buzz that CeeDee Lamb is displaying right now, and I'm anxious to see this kid play. But yes, I got a problem. I got a problem with the Bucks being number one and Cowboys being three.
Timeout. I first guessed CeeDee Lamb. I started telling you in September, you'd say, Jerry Jeudy's the best receiver in football. No, in college football. No, I'd say CeeDee Lamb. And look what happened. My team got CeeDee Lamb, and now the world is saying, uh-oh, the Cowboys are loaded because of CeeDee Lamb. Nobody called him Randy Moss. I think you're talking about Randy Moss' impact as a rookie. But Pro Football Focus is saying, now you have three receivers, and obviously Amari Cooper and Gallup, that can mix and match. You can play them all over the place. They're interchangeable parts where you can play them in the slot. You can play them outside. You can send them in motion. It's going to be a three-headed wide receiver monster. No great tight end. Blake Jarwin's pretty good as a pass catcher, probably a little better than Jason Witten as far as running down the field and getting open. But those three wide receivers as a trio, to me, will become the best trio of wide receivers in pro football. Now back to Tampa Bay. Shannon, you're in so much trouble because not only did ESPN's Bill Barnwell rank Tampa as having the best offseason of any NFL team, but now Pro Football Focus is saying the Bucs have the best receiving core in pro football. And the reason being, they rank Chris Godwin, a Pro Bowl receiver from last year, number one in pro football. And all their metrics, their productivity stats say Chris Godwin was the best receiver in football last year. They also rank Mike Evans tied for six. Well, I'm just telling you what they did. Yeah, I do. I believe in their metrics. So if you've got a number one receiver, number one overall, and a guy tied for six, and those are your two outside guys. And then I thought you just dismissed Rob Gronkowski. He's a cinch first ballot Hall of Famer who took a year off to refresh and revitalize and healthy up. nobody has had better rapport with Tom Brady than Rob Gronkowski has. He's only 31 years of age. He wanted to get out from under the tyrant structure of Bill Belichick. He's ready to have some fun under Bruce Arians. You better look out there, because you've added him to an O.J. Howard who is 6'5" tall and ran 4.5 at the combine and is underutilized so far. Brady will fix that. And I didn't know this, but Pro Football Focus also ranked Tyler Johnson out of Minnesota, whom the Bucs stole in the fifth round of this past draft. They ranked him over the last 2 years as their best receiver in college football in productivity. Again, he did not flash for me. I noticed him when I watched Minnesota, but again, he was a contested catch warrior, as they said on NFL.com. He did not run fast. He didn't have great quickness. He just gets open and beats you to the jump ball. Well, they got him in the fifth round. So Pro Football Focus is saying that's the cherry on top of everything that I just talked about. And I've also thrown in little Scotty Miller, who they drafted out of Bowling Green last year in the slot. He had one big game at New Orleans. And I think Tom's going to turn him into an Edelman slash Amendola. Not quite as big or physical as those two, but Jets, supreme short area quickness. So, again, if I put all that together, including Tyler Johnson, the rookie, and I didn't mention Cameron Brate, the other quality tight end, it's just too much firepower. Keyshawn Vaughn out of Vanderbilt that they stole in the third round will be catching balls out of the backfield. It's more than Mahomes will have. And I love what, and I respect what Mahomes has, but it's not this, Shannon. You are in big trouble next year.
Skip, look, I like the Falcons in front of the Cowboys. Remember, Skip, the Falcons were number two last year. Now, they did lose Austin Hooper, but they traded for Hayden Hurst. And I think Hayden Hurst, because he wanted to get out of the shadow, he knew he wasn't going to be Mark Andrews from Oklahoma. He wasn't going to get an opportunity to get the kind of reps that he needs to showcase his ability. So I like Calvin Ridley. I like Julio Jones. Anytime Julio Jones is on the list and you got to do a duo, they should be top 10, because Julio by himself is going to, Michael Jordan, drag other guys up. Julio can drag the other receiver up. But Calvin Ridley is a great route runner. Skip, I think they have the Eagles too low. Remember, Skip, the Eagles were number one last year and all their receivers got hurt. So they're going to bring Alshon back. They're going to bring D-Jack back. They got Jalen Reagor in the first round. Zach Ertz is as good a pass catching tight end. We know the rapport that he has with walking with Carson Wentz. So, Skip, I think they are a little low on this list. But, man, Skip, you know your guy better have Randy Moss-type rookie impact. I'm not saying he's going to be Randy Moss, but I'm saying the way he's being hyped, he needs to have that kind of impact to justify all this praise and hyperbole that you and others have been bestowing upon him.
Shannon, I first guessed it, and I second my own emotion. He's going to change life in Dallas. He will live up to the hype. But the important takeaway here is that you bet me 5 cases of Diet Mountain Dew that Bill Belichick's Patriots would have a better record next year than Tom Brady's Buccaneers. You are in so much trouble because Tampa did everything right in the offseason. Tampa even retained, this is under the radar, but Shaq Barrett is still with Tampa. He led the league in sacks last year. They kept Sue. Yep. They kept JPP. They kept 3 guys who, when they were on the field last year together, the trio, that they pressured the quarterback 34% of the time. If they'd all been on for the whole year, that would have made them the second best pressure threesome in pro football. They're still there, Shannon. The defense is going to be improved under Todd Bowles. This is going to be a force to be reckoned with in Tampa, where they were 7-9 last year, and they have been pitiful since 2002.
Skip, I like the Shaq Barrett, but the thing was, he couldn't get an opportunity because you had Vaughn and you had D. Ware. And then when they made the trade for Chubb, Skip, he just couldn't get on the field. He always possessed that ability because he made plays. But, you know, they got Chubb. They got him in the fifth pick in the draft. You have Von Miller paying him a ton of money. So he's getting an opportunity to show you what he can do. I've always liked Shaq Barrett. That's why they tried to hold on to him throughout the trade when people wanted to trade for him. But their defense should be better. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's going to come down to, Skip. You can score all you want to. The reason why Kansas City won the Super Bowl is that their defense was exponentially better than what they were the previous year. You know that.
Mm. Well, allow me to end this discussion by taking one last sip here.
Ain't nothing in there.
Please.
That ain't no backwash.
On that note.
Ain't nothing in there. That's backwash.
We can all have a little sip. All right. No mercy. Sunday on Fox, the NASCAR season continues with the Coca-Cola 600 live from Charlotte Motor Speedway. Catch all the action beginning at 6 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. It has been so nice to have NASCAR back and racing. CBS Sports ranked their top 100 NFL players and 10 quarterbacks made the list, but noticeably missing was Carson Wentz. Shannon, I'm sure you got a big problem with this. Fire away. Floor is yours.
This is crazy to me to think that Carson Wentz led his team to a play, led his team to a division title, which and then to get them a home playoff game, goes to the playoffs. And he's not one of the 100 best players in all of football. Skip, Carson Wentz did something this year that no other quarterback had ever done in the history of the game. He's the first quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards in a season and in that same season have zero wide receivers to have at least 500 receiving yards. Let that sink in for just a second. You throw for 4,000 yards and not one of your wide receivers have at least 500 yards. Now, he did this with D-Jack being out basically all the entire season. Alshon missing half the season. He's throwing to basically guys that started the season on the practice squad. He loses Lane Johnson for the last month of the season. He loses his starting left tackle for 3 games during the season. And he still did what he did. So if I were to ask Dak Prescott, I'd say, Dak, I'm going to take away Amari for the entire season. And I'm going to take away Michael Gallup for half the season. And you're going to lose Lyle Collins for 4 games. And you're going to lose Tyron Smith for 3 games. Hell, he couldn't get them to the playoffs. And he had all them guys. But I got something very interesting for you. But this is what Dak going to take to Jerry Jones. He said, Jerry, I don't know if you read this, but they said I'm 46. Deshaun Watson, 62. Matt Ryan, 70. Did you see the money that they gave Matt Ryan to sign? Did you see how much he making? Did you see what Deshaun Watson going to be asking for? So, hey, I'm sorry that Carson Wentz is not on that list, but old Dakota Prescott looking real pretty right now, Skip. You think you about to
really
dump on walking to him, but old Dak Prescott got this same list and got it right there in front of Jerry. Hey, Jerry, I'm 46. Those other guys, 62 and 70. And one guy didn't even make the list.
Once again, Shannon Sharpe is attempting to change the subject because he knows how much trouble he's in this debate, which he's virtually already lost. So let's get this straight, Mr. Sharpe. Your man,
yes,
Lockett Tuam Wentz, just moonwalked right out of the top 100. Really? I can see that. Dak was ranked 46,
no, you can't.
But hey, how about Darren Waller, the tight end for the now Las Vegas Raiders? He ranks 79th. At least he made the top 100. But, oh, walk it to him, or as I call him, bounce it to him. He didn't make it.
Whoa.
So what did we see down the stretch? Go ahead.
Skip, hold on. Wait a minute. You just let, now just a segment ago, when you talking about Dak doesn't deserve his money, you say the players voted and Dak didn't even make it. And you were talking about that was one of the reasons he doesn't deserve to get paid. Now, are you going to sing his praise now that he's 46 and he deserves his money?
This isn't about Dak Prescott. We already did that. It's been put to bed, at least for this day. Now we're talking about Carson Wentz, as in W-I-N-C-E, as in he's always hurt. He got hurt early in his playoff game. He has a long history of injury in this league and at North Dakota State. So what did we see down the stretch from him? Yes, he played inspired football, gutsy football. He was down to his second and third team receivers. He was down to practice squad receivers. But what did he really do in those last four games? Well, he beat the 3-13 Redskins. He beat the 4-12 Giants twice. And he beat my 8-8 Dallas Cowboys. That's what he did.
Yes.
And his numbers, he threw 7 touchdowns to no interceptions in those 4 games. But the QBRs weren't great. In fact, one game against the Giants at home, he had a 36, the game that went to overtime. And he had a 40 at the Giants in the last regular season game, which wasn't that great. His total QBR for the 4 games, his average was 53, which is average at best. So I'm not sure that Doug Peterson put a whole lot of stock in those last 4 games, because right on cue against Seattle in a home playoff game, he got hurt again. And he threw completed 1 pass out of 4 in that game for a grand total of 3 yards. So right now, Carson Wentz's playoff statistics for his career, 1 completion for 3 yards. That's frightening. And Doug Peterson is probably more in my corner than in yours. I don't think Doug Peterson has ever bought completely into Carson Wentz, hence Jalen Hurts in the 2nd round. I've said from the start, and I stand by this, I've never bought completely into Carson Wentz's poise, his command, his feel for playing quarterback, his consistency and accuracy. When there was no pressure in the last 4 games with very low expectation, he was very good, or at least good. I won't go very, but he was good. Good enough to go 9-7 and barely win the NFC East. And then he got hurt. And then Jalen Hurts got drafted. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again, Shannon Sharp. I believe that over time, Jalen Hurts will prove to be the better quarterback than Carson Wentz on leadership and killer will and playmaking. I love Jalen Hurts, and it's going to tear my soul out if he becomes the starting quarterback for your Eagles. But I think that's destined. I believe that Carson Wentz is in trouble. I don't believe he's in the top 100, and I believe he's not even going to be on the field at some point fairly soon for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Skip, you talk about the teams that he beat down the stretch. You said he beat the Washington. You guys played them twice and beat them twice. You said he beat the Giants. You guys played them and beat them twice. But they also played you guys, you bums, and beat you, the Cowboys. And they did something you couldn't do. They beat the Packers. You remember that, Skip? They beat the Packers in Green Bay.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers failed to see a wide-open Darius Shepherd standing in the end zone saying, they blew the coverage, I'm open. Aaron Rodgers forced it into the middle of the field to Valdez-Scantling, and it got intercepted. Way to go, Aaron.
Skip, I'm not saying that Carson Wentz is a top-10 quarterback, but it's hard for me to believe that a guy that accomplished what he accomplished last year is not one of the 100 best players in all of football. To get a team to win a division when you're doing it with basically none of your best weapons, and to do that when your guy had a full cachet and couldn't get it done. No mercy.